And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the Zoom line with us today is Dr. Peter Hammond, all the way from South Africa. And Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be with you. Well, we're in the middle of our winter, very cold, freezing. In fact, we've got snow on the mountains near Cape Town. Can you imagine? Here we are in Africa. And after all the climate alarmists screaming about global warming, well, we would love some global warming down here right now. We're in Africa, and we can feel the snow.
It's wow.
Ridiculous. But I'm bundled up, and, you know, you'd expect me to be in some kind of safari suit or something and sweltering heat of Africa. But here we are, in fact, freezing cold. I don't want to exaggerate, but, you know, we're not exactly living in Norway or Scandinavia right now, so we don't expect to be cold like this. We don't tend to have the kind of warm clothing or central heating. There's no home that I know of in Cape Town that has central heating.
Yeah.
There might be such, but not in our experience. So we just have to put on another cat or jacket and jersey, and that's
yeah.
it.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because we often forget we're talking so far away that it's an entirely different temperature and all of that. So it's a vastly different latitude. As we're recording this, it's very early in the morning here in the States. It's about almost 60 degrees outside. But I wonder how, and that's Fahrenheit, I wonder how cold it is there and where you are in Cape Town.
Well, in Cape Town right now, I think we're down to about 6 degrees Celsius.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not too sure what that is in Fahrenheit, but it's so cold that we can feel the snow on the mountains not that far away.
Yes.
Some people have shared pictures of us that towards Citrusdal and Ceres up the west coast of the Cape, we've got snow. But bear in mind, this is Africa, and we're in the southern hemisphere, so we've got winter while you've got your summer. And Cape Town's other reality is we are at the junction of two oceans. We've got the warm Indian Ocean to our east, and we've got the cold Atlantic Ocean to our west. And that makes for the Cape of Storms. Just across the South Atlantic from us is Antarctica, where the penguins are living. In fact, we even have some penguins living in Cape Town, and I get to sometimes swim with penguins and paddle them. Great white sharks and whales. And, you know, interestingly, just recently, a huge pod or school of about 200 humpback whales came off the coast of the Cape, not far from us. And they'd been hunted almost to extinction. So this is a very encouraging thing that with the moratorium on whaling, the humpback whales have come back. What's also quite a surprise is we now have American orca, what some people call the killer whales, all the way from the Pacific Ocean. A bunch of them have migrated down to the Cape.
Wow.
And that's funny on many levels, because when my daughter was quite young, the Free Willy film came out, and we were walking at the harbor close to the edge, and I was saying, Andrea, don't go too close to the edge, you might fall in. And she says, if I fall in, Willie will save me. And I had to say, Andrea, that's not possible. Willie lives in the Pacific Ocean. That's another side of the world. And there are no orca whales near Cape Town. Well, that's changed. Some orca whales have migrated to our waters, and we've got the bizarre situation that our apex predator, that's the great white shark, are now being hunted by American orca whales off our coast, and they hunt in packs. Now, because I do dragon boating and paddling sometimes, and one of our good friends, our chairman of the board, Anthony, actually does scuba diving, an interesting thing is the scuba divers say we're never bothered by orca whales. Orca whales never bother the divers.
Mm-hmm.
Our problems from some of our more local, like the great white sharks. So it's not that our people are complaining, but I'm sure the great white sharks would object to these American orca whales moving into our territory. It's upset the whole food pyramid. The ones who were on the top of the food pyramid are now finding themselves targets.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just some of the interesting things that happen here.
It's very interesting. Today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond, our friend who lives in South Africa. So many things that we could talk about, but one item that is on the top of your mind, and maybe it should be on the top of our mind for prayer, is you work very hard in literature distribution, and it means getting the books and Bibles in, and there's kind of a holdup now. How can we pray for that? At least describe it for our listeners.
Yes, we're facing something of a crisis right now. Just to give the context, first and foremost, there are over 730 million churchgoers in Africa today. So officially, according to Operation World, we have 730 million Christians in Africa, making us more like 45% of the total population of Africa are officially Christians. We don't mean they're necessarily born again, but they are church attending, they are naming themselves as Christians on censuses. They'd consider themselves to be Christians. Of course, many still need evangelism, but the shocking statistic is 600 million churchgoers in Africa do not have a Bible, not even a New Testament.
Wow.
So the church has grown so fast in Africa that Bible distribution has not kept track. In fact, statistically, from all organizations printing and distributing or importing Bibles, Africa's received 150 million Bibles or New Testaments in the last 20 years. And the average life expectancy for a Bible is about 20 years in Africa because termites, insects, dust, rain, damp, wars, all that sort of thing, scorched earth. It's very rare to find a Bible that'll survive years. I've seen some, but they're in tatters. So effectively, we've got 600 million churchgoers without access to a Bible or even a New Testament. In the Congo, where we have an important mission, the pastors, only 70% of the pastors have access to a New Testament. Now, that means not even a full Bible, just the New Testament. So that's shocking. And to get Bibles into the Congo, we've got real problems with the Congo government demanding massive bribes. To get these Bibles into the Congo, what they call the Democratic Republic of Congo, the largest country in Africa, is a major problem. But I'm in Cape Town, South Africa, what's meant to be civilization and a free country. And yet, we've got our government delaying our container shipment. Now, it was inspired by William Carey, the father of modern missions. William Carey, when he went to India, said he saw British ships offloading cannon and all kinds of ammunition and crates of guns to suppress the people of India under the British Empire. And he said, he wrote back home and said, how much more wonderful it would be if the people in Britain would ship out Bibles and books with which we can regenerate India.
Yes.
And I was so inspired by this. I wrote to my friend, Dr. James Kennedy, and asked, do you have any books that you can spare for us? Any of your might be shop-soiled, damaged, maybe misbound. Maybe there's some damage that happened in packaging. Don't throw them away. Send them to us in Africa. And it started out with us getting some boxes by mail sack, which used to be a way of sharing literature across the oceans, and just charged much cheaper at that stage if it was a book post or literature, which meant surface mail by sea. And so we got thousands of books of Dr. James Kennedy's to entrust to pastors around here.
Wow.
And then I got other people like Dr. David Noble and several other wonderful church leaders, Gary DeMar, shipped us materials. Dr. Rashtuni was very generous and gave us many of his books as
well.
And then along the line, God put us in touch with Eagle's Nest Love Packages based in Illinois. And now they've got a depot in Alabama too. And they forced the ministry to gather up overprints or damaged books or secondhand books or churches that might have switched from having pew Bibles to having only using electronic screens. And sometimes they changed their Bible translation, and then there might be a hotel that goes out of business, and they've got all these Gideon's Bibles in each room that's available. Grandma's library gets donated to somebody in inheritance. And so Eagle's Nest gathers these books and Bibles from all over America, all over North America, actually, and they ship them out to ministries like ourselves. And so this is a phenomenal blessing for us. So we get every month or two, a container shipment, a 20-foot container, about 17 tons of Bibles and books, which we're able to bless people all over Africa. We built quite a big ministry on this, Literature for Africa, distributing Bibles and books. We average 200 tons of Bibles and books that we distribute absolutely free throughout Africa, as far afield as Sudan and the Congo, from our Literature for Africa in Cape Town. The problem we've got now, and this is only the third time we've had it, is our government, customs, immigration, whatever they're calling themselves, are blocking one of our containers.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, they block it, and it's technical. Oh, you know, this paperwork doesn't match, and the bill of lading conflicts with this, and so on and so forth. And, oh, you've got some CDs in there. That's not literature. And, you know, governments can be very obstructionist. And so we're facing this, and it seems to be spiritual warfare. It's like the devil trying to undermine our work, burdening us with crippling expenses where, you know, this is a free ministry. We're giving these Bibles away free. This is not commercial. And yet we get charged vast amounts of money for delays, for example, when the customs are delaying our shipments. And we have to pay what they call demurrage and rent because we're using space in their warehouse or whatever.
Oh.
Well, we don't want them to delay it. We provide all the paperwork as early as we can before the ship even came into the harbor. But government bureaucracy being what it is, maybe they're waiting for bribes. I mean, this could be corruption. But behind it, we see the hand of Satan's minions, these demons seeking to undermine spiritual work.
Yeah.
People are literally dying for the word of God throughout all of Africa. And we're trying to get it to them swiftly and efficiently. And we've got government bureaucrats putting obstacles in our way and then charging us fines for if they see some CDs or DVDs in the shipments, which are not commercially viable. It's old technology.
Yes.
You can't even give away CDs and DVDs now, let alone sell them. And then they want to charge us massive import duties for as though we're smuggling drugs or something like that. And it's Bibles and books, but sometimes they're CDs and DVDs. And so this is a major problem. We are struggling to be able to get this shipment out of the harbor. We're struggling to pay what is required. Even though it's a free ministry and the people shipping us the container have covered the shipping across the Atlantic, just to get it out of the local harbor and get it transported to our mission headquarters, not that many miles away, still is a significant expense and complication if the authorities will give the permission, and we are battling that. And sometimes we've had our emails hacked, our websites hacked, our bank accounts frozen.
Yes.
So we are facing spiritual warfare to be able to do God's work in Africa. It's not just a matter of being bombed, which has happened to me a few times.
I guess so. No question about it.
Or being strafed or mines. It's not just the danger of sometimes crocodiles, and I have stepped on one, or snakes, and I've stepped on a snake too in the wild. But it's a matter of governments. And so pray that the Lord would give us favor in the eyes of the officials we must deal with. You know, as Paul says, not everyone has faith, and pray that the Lord will deliver us from wicked and evil men.
Amen. Today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond, and the prayer request is that the Lord will free up this shipment of Bibles and books for him to get and then to distribute, and it's being held up, and the government is problematic in terms of letting it flow freely. So pray that the Lord will work here. Everything that they're doing is to give these things away, and yet they have to pay extra rent every day that it sits on the dock or wherever it's sitting, and we really need our friends, our listeners that believe in the Word of God and believe in actually the Lord working in miraculous ways, that this shipment will be freed up so it can get to the people that need it. Peter, you must obviously get discouraged from time to time. I'm sure you've learned principles of what to do when the enemy of our soul tries to discourage us. What steps can we take as the people of God to not feel cast down? Any suggestions?
Yes, turn to the Psalms. The Psalms have got everything, you know, discouragement and fear and anger and frustration. And all of these are expressed by King David, a man after God's own heart, who penned the Psalms. The Psalms have every kind of condition, frustration, conflict that we can face. and they turn to the Lord. And so we find turning to Psalms, praying the Psalms, yes, quoting the Psalms. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And we praise the Lord who is our Redeemer, our strong fortress, our Deliverer. And so it's so important to go back to Scripture, and particularly the middle book of the Bible, the biggest book of the Bible, the prayer book, the hymn book of the Bible, the Psalms, that has been an inexhaustible source of encouragement and strength to us, especially when we've been under fire, been in prison, all these things, but also dealing with obstructionist government departments, which
yes,
can sometimes be even more frustrating than the problems in the field that you face from MiG-23s bombing you, or Antonov bombers, or ambushes and so on. So thank you for the prayer warriors. We need the prayer warriors, amen, to lift us up. It is an ongoing spiritual battle. Satan hates the Word of God, and it's such a strategic work to put Bibles in the hands of Bible college students, young people, chaplains, soldiers in the field, to reach people in some of the most inaccessible places. So in the jungles of Africa, people are waiting for their first copy of the Word of God.
Yes.
We're trying to get it to them. Obviously, there are those who are being manipulated by Satan in order to try and obstruct the work of missionaries. Our goal is to keep the people informed, keep the people supplied. We are like a quartermaster store for missions and ministries throughout Africa. And, you know, please keep lifting up Livingston House, Frontline Fellowship, our Literature for Africa ministry, as we try to get these materials in the hands of the people who most need it, will best use it, and most apply it.
Yes. We're talking with Peter Hammond. We're learning about a shipment of Bibles and Christian literature that's basically on the dock, a big container that's come in, but it's being held up. And the prayer request is that the government will allow this container to be delivered to Peter. Anything else on that particular shipment, Peter?
Yes, the power of the Prince of Word. You know, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news.
Hmm.
And we know God's word never returns void. It's as powerful and active as sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God never returns void. It's like a precision-guided missile. It's not just like an arrow or bullet. It's like a precision-guided cruise missile, because God's word will accomplish his purposes. And so we mustn't allow anything to deviate or distract or derail our ministry of fulfilling the Great Commission. And our vision is Africa for Christ. I might say, excitingly, just in the last few, I've received invitations for ministry to Botswana and Namibia, to Zimbabwe, Zambia. We've got an ongoing work in the Congo. I must get up there. Nigeria was contacted just last week. There's so much need in Africa. There's so much openness, so much enthusiasm. In fact, on Monday, which was a public holiday in Cape Town, we were on the streets doing evangelistic outreaches, distributing thousands of gospel booklets. And although there's a bit of objections and a couple of oppositions, we met some atheists, some Jews and Muslims, and some pantheists even. But we had evangelistic conversations with all of them. But most people are very excited to receive copies of the Word of God. We even get people who are visiting from Pakistan, from Saudi Arabia, from Algeria and Morocco, Muslim countries in the Middle East, so excited to receive a Bible, saying, you know, this is illegal in my country. And the excitement to see some Muslim from the Middle East, from a closed country, receiving the Word of God in Cape Town and seeing them excited about it. You know, it's forbidden fruit. This is so fascinating and interesting. It's such a privilege to be in this cosmopolitan port city. You know, earlier this year, we had the Iranian Navy and the Red Chinese Navy visiting Cape Town for maneuvers. And we were distributing Bibles in Farsi and Chinese to these people. And we couldn't have known that just a few months later, virtually the entire Iranian Navy would be sunk
by
the U.S. Air Force. You know, how important to get the Word of God to these people in time. And we have remarkable opportunities at Cape Town. So this is the Cape of Good Hope, and we have the wonderful ministry opportunity of getting onto ships in the harbor, distributing to sailors, walking in our city, and being able to get the gospel to people who couldn't be reached any other way. It says, countries that are close to the gospel where their ships come past our shores. And I'm thinking particularly of the Red Chinese, but, you know, we also have from very strong Muslim countries as well. We even had some naval vessels coming from Saudi Arabia here, Indonesia. And so the opportunity of getting the gospel into the hands of these people, it's very exciting. So thank you for your prayers and thank you for making this book known. We really need people to stand with us to intercede. This is spiritual warfare. And folks can learn more about our mission and what's going on our website, www.frontlinemissionsa.org, frontlinemissionsa.org.
Oh, that's excellent. Today we're talking with Dr. Peter Hammond. Peter, in the back of my mind, as I talk with you and you describe getting Bibles into the hands of people, I remember years ago in a different situation, you were captured, I believe, by the communists, and you were tortured. You were kept in prison. How important was it to have the Word of God memorized and available to you in your mind?
Absolutely essential. In fact, you know, when they take your Bible away from you, which happened to me as I went into prison, first in Zambia when that was a communist country back in 1987, all I had of the Word of God is what I had memorized. And I had the opportunity to minister to another 1,200 prisoners around me on a daily basis. But there's no sermon notes, no Bible even to read from. The only way I could minister is from what I had memorized, stored up. And it reminds me of what Sabine von Brandt said, Richard von Brandt's wife. Her story's in the book, The Pastor's Wife. She was locked up for 5 years in slave labor in Romania. And Sabine said, before I went to prison, I was very poor. But when I went to prison, I became very rich because I had the only currency that mattered there, much of the Word of God stored up in her mind. And so she was able to enrich many other people with the treasures of the Scripture, which was stored up in a memory. And another memory I have is that Richard von Brandt, who was a good friend of my wife's family, in fact, he was often at their home in Salzburg and was a regular guest around their table. Mm-hmm. Once Richard von Brandt was asked, what scripture most helped you when you were being tortured for Christ? Yeah. He wrote the book Tortured for Christ. And he said, it's good to know the shepherd's psalm, but it's more important to know the shepherd.
Yes.
And I think that's so true. We must know the Word of God, but it's even more important to know the God of the Word.
That is so important. In other words, we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know Him. We talk with Him. We have fellowship with Him. And that's what Peter is talking about here. Peter, if somebody is out there today saying, oh, come on, this stuff again, and yet they realize, wait a minute, this is the sort of thing that lasts through a prison sentence, that lasts through torture, and you come out the other end. If you do come out the other end praising Christ, how does a person respond to the Lord Jesus, His tuggings, His drawing, etc.?
I've experienced the Lord's presence, you know, in prison and under fire. I've experienced the presence of God so real, more than in any church conference. And I've been many great conferences, many great church worship services. I've managed to worship the Lord in assemblies where there are literally 10,000 people in a church service singing over 1,000 tongues to sing. And yet, wonderful as that is, I've experienced the presence of God more in solitary confinement, in prison, being waterboarded and interrogated in communist prisons or waiting for the firing squad the next morning in a Islamic country. And praise God that He does open prison doors and set the captives free.
Amen.
But, you know, much as I had a terror for being arrested and imprisoned and tortured, I really feared that. I didn't fear as much as capture and imprisonment in a communist prison. And yet, I wouldn't have my life without it because I've experienced the closeness of the Lord more in these filthy cells under torture in communist incarceration than I even have in a church, in a worship service. So
yes,
we shouldn't fear these problems because, you know, God gives us the grace when we need it. I didn't have the grace to endure this a moment before, but God gave me the grace at the moment I needed.
Amen. Well, I think we're out of time already. Unbelievable. Peter Hammond is our dear friend from South Africa, and please pray for him. He's got this shipment of Bibles and books on the dock, as it were, and that's being held up by government. And he really needs the contents. They give them out for free. And so just pray that the Lord miraculously works, that these books and Bibles can come in and get to the people that the Lord has destined for these books. Peter, one more time, your web address if people want to look you up.
Yes, please do visit us, www.frontlinemissionsa.org, Frontline Mission SA, short for South Africa, frontlinemissionsa.org. And you can email me at peter@frontline.org.za.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much, Peter. We contacted each other in the middle of the night here on the East Coast of America. And of course, you were wide awake, something like 9 o'clock in the morning. So, Peter, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dan. God bless all on Redeemed Broadcasting.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.